Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery, and I'm excited to share with you that we've created a new series. This is a topical series where we've taken previously recorded clips, compiled them by topic, idea, and particular concepts within the infinite banking footprint and the financial world broadly. Topics will include loans, loan repayments, paid up additions riders, other riders, dividends, long-term thinking, what could go wrong, what does go wrong within the infinite banking footprint. And I hope you enjoy listening. And it was created for your edification. Thank you.
And so it hit me where this really resonated with me was line of credit. That's the first thing that resonated with me. It wasn't death benefit. It wasn't some of these other awesome aspects. It was line of credit. How do I get this interest to be uninterrupted? I'm doing all the talking. I need to let you ask a question.
I learned a long time ago that when people know what they're talking about, just let them talk. Mm. So please continue, because I'm enthralled. I mean, I know a lot of this. You know, we speak and have spoken regularly over the last few years, but I don't know all the details and all the nuances. So I'm like, it's riveting to me, you know?
So I started searching that out in probably 2018, 2019, figured out, okay, this looks like the one that's paying the most dividends, which is the wrong way to analyze it. But that's how I was analyzing it. And my lack of knowledge, I knew that it was a good vehicle. I just didn't know how good it could be.
It was with a good company that paid a good dividend.
Strong company.
So it checked, you know, the
absolutely,
boxes.
Yeah. My agent tried to sell me or put me in, I should say. He didn't sell me at all. I called him and said, hey, I want to buy one of these. Before I did that, I went and checked with my wife, because I've learned, especially since my excavating fiasco, God gave women intuition.
No,
it's a real thing. And I'm married to a good one, and she's a Proverbs 31 wife, and she is such a blessing to me. And so I went to her first and said, hey, let's pray about this. Let's think about this. It's definitely not mainstream. You know,
it's definitely not Dave Ramsey.
It's not Dave Ramsey. No. And although I appreciate that, right?
Yes,
that's kind of like, you know, if you haven't gotten yourself to solvency yet, do that first.
Yep.
Right. So anyway, so we went and decided, you know, jointly together,
she was okay with it.
In agreement on any of that stuff that we do, that we were going to do this. So I sought them out. He tried to put me in the right policy. He actually had it structured the right way, even though he doesn't do infinite banking. And I talked to him about it. I think I had started to get onto the YouTube channel, not yours, but just starting to listen to some of the noise out there. And so I was starting to say that phrase, although I didn't know what I was talking about. And what I did is I panicked. So I got into the policies, bought a couple of them, and then I bought one for me and my wife, and then both kids, bought them on the kids right away. So we got four policies. And then I said, oh, no, I need to change these. I need to get into the high early cash value.
From the noise or what you were listening to.
Yeah. So I called and said, hey, I think I want to get out of these and convert them. And they tried to actually talk me out of it. And three of those I changed. At some point they went, hey, it's your money. You do what you want to do. Go ahead and we'll just 1035 them and you can do that and we'll put you in those vehicles. And they're not bad vehicles. They're just, if I had it to do over again, I would have stuck with the original that had, you know, a much better long term. I was thinking short term. I was thinking I'm going to need to get into these and use this sooner. And
need all the cash right now. And yeah.
I didn't understand what I was doing. So they were trying to give me good advice. I just didn't take it. So we were headed down the right direction. Now, my daughter's policy, we didn't change hers because she hates needles. And she'll be watching this. So, Brooke, Daddy loves you, but she hates needles. And so I told her, she says, Dad, please don't make me do that. And I said, okay, we won't change yours. So she actually has the best policy out of all of those long term. So she'll be thankful for that someday. But we changed those over. And then I was just burying myself in education because I was so into the topic, and I was eating books on life insurance and there's all kinds of books. I've kind of built the library up. And then as God has it, I stumble across your YouTube. And as soon as, and I, my very first episode, I saw you and Ryan. Okay. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of collective intelligence in one room.
Having grown up on land and being in the areas that I live, it's a lot of rural areas that's where there's a lot of raw land, timber, things of that nature. And it seems to always work out better when your capital draws in the opportunities. Whenever a deal comes along to where someone's needing out from under something to continue their situation.
And it's an opportunity for them to get out from under it, and an opportunity for someone who's properly capitalized and has some knowledge on the deal.
Right. When you see deals, you know it's a deal. You attract the opportunities. The more capital you have, the more opportunities you attract. And it seems to work out. If the more patient you are, the better the deal. I've grown to see that. It took a while to see it, but I do see it. When you force things, it don't work out as well. Yep. But when you're patient and you let things come to you, it seems to work out much better. And I had spoke to this guy a few times. He was a local investor with land and timber. And I told him if a deal ever come along that, you know, let me know. And, you know, after about 2 or 3 years, I'd see him in the mornings and speak to him briefly because I'd be on my way to work. I didn't have a long time to just sit there and talk. But he said, hey, I got this piece of property I need to sell, and I'm looking to buy another piece that's larger track, and you might be interested. This is a decent piece, you know, has its own road frontage and one way in, one way out. It's not landlocked, or, you know, it's not cut up into odd shapes. It's pretty laid out well. It's got good lines, property lines, and it might be something you're interested in. I was like, sure. So a few days went by and our schedules lined up to where we went and looked at it together, and he showed me it, and I was like, man, it's a great piece of property. It's got it has some rolling hills in it. It's in the edge of Alabama, but I seen the potential just based on what I know about raw land, and he laid a number out there that I was like, wow, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I need to unload this piece and move on. And, you know, I'm giving you, you know, I feel like a good deal. And I was like, yeah, actually you are. Yeah. Let me, you sit right there. I'll be back with you tomorrow. And I said, I'm gonna buy this track. Don't tell anybody else about it.
A good deal.
Yeah, that was a great deal. It was it was a large piece of land. It was 243 acres, mm-hmm. which in my book's a large piece of land. So he had already cut all the timber off of it, but
is that what he did? Was he?
Yeah, he brought raw land and cut timber and sold the timber, and then he would resell the tracts of land. And
sure,
and that's, you know, it serves its purpose, I guess. I'm sure he makes a lot of money doing that, but at the same time, he probably runs into situations to where he buys tracts of land that aren't as easy to sell, because he'll buy them in locations that may be a lot of low land, and, you know, getting skidders in and out, it creates a mess, and some people don't have the vision to see over that stuff, and some tracks he could get stuck with, I'm sure.
Sure.
So, yeah, I kept that. Let's see. Well, that track of land, I actually bought another piece of equipment. I bought a backhoe, Caterpillar 430E backhoe. It was a big piece of equipment. And by using, or, you know, knowing people that was kind of in the heavy equipment industry, I was able to get use a someone that I personally knew that had a degree in, you know, as far as working on that stuff. And he told me this was a good piece of equipment that I was particularly looking at, and he gave me the guy's number. He said he's looking to get out from under it, and wanted to know if I was interested in purchasing it. And I was like, well, let's go look at it. And he actually drove me to the guy's house and was like, yeah, I know this guy personally, and he's going to shoot you straight. So I looked at it, and I was, you know, seemed like a good piece of equipment to buy. And
can I ask about how many planes? And I don't want to ask about anything that, you know, has this helped you with acquisition of planes, or?
It's made it possible in a multitude of different ways. If we need the cash value for a plane acquisition, then it's there for that. If, as you mentioned, the wing, if we need a wing, for either the maintenance business, or we don't know which one it's going to be, take the cash out. It's in our hands to divert whichever way it needs to go. Mm-hmm. And it might need to potentially go into a premium payment.
Have you talked to any... Oh, go ahead.
But... as a concept, I know that it will be reinvested in some area that will start that cash flow over again and throw off more cash to reinvest. And I don't want to repeat myself, but just it continues and it's recycling my own capital over and over again, and it gets a use each time. And
velocity.
I know that I've seen on some of your original podcasts that really spoke to me, the stair step, the
up. Some of the old ones, right? Yeah.
You make capital or money. I guess it would be money. And then you spend it. Mm-hmm. Up, spend it. And even worse, go into debt, get out of debt. And to just in the short amount of time that we have been involved in this process, you can feel it, like that stair step of making money, investing it, and the curve goes up so that the base foundation is increasing. Hopefully, I mean, so far
it is.
And
it's
it
not
is
gonna change.
And my youngest turned 18. So as a family, collectively, we're entering a different phase. And for me, it's less terrifying if something, one area of our careers collapses for whatever reason, the economy, what our fault, whatever, I feel less vulnerable. Because we have a foundation that's growing. And even if it did, well, what I'm leading to is even if it did fall apart, I feel like the base foundation is a little more cushion to just start again.
Yeah.
A little less vulnerability, a little less fear, and to just go out there, give it a shot. It's working. If it doesn't, try again.
So the fear or the vulnerability is waning and diminishing, and the confidence is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the correct direction to me.
And this is one point in life, and it will always change. There will be setbacks. So I'm old enough to realize that sometimes those setbacks are debilitating. Mm. I feel like the net is a little bit more cushioned, and that a little bit braver every time that things go badly. I know that I can start again, and this provides a lot better foundation to build on.
I agree. I personally believe everything is cyclical in this life. You know, good times follow bad times follow good times.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get at. I just am not as articulate.
You're very articulate. You're very hard on yourself. You're too hard on yourself. Smart lady.
I was like, Kevin, I need a policy loan. Do all the verification stuff of who I am. Here's your max loan amount. How much would you like? I need $10,500. Okay. Would you like that ACH to the same bank account that where your premium comes from? Yes, sir. And end of phone call, and haven't even reached that next intersection, that next major intersection. So that took about 2.5 minutes. No, what are you using it for? Our calendar's kind of booked. The loan officer doesn't have any time for you until next Thursday. Mm. And then, to go through their underwriting. So one, my money, my control, my bank, and speed. And it was done in 2.5 to 3 minutes, and the transaction was in process, and that was it. So when you're talking about stress relief, or fill in the blank with whatever, that's control. That is control.
It is.
And
you got a relationship with Kevin at the home office.
Oh, he probably is like, this guy's going to come and he's going to do some, not some fancy stuff, but he's going to wear me out. Like, oh, is this guy again from California?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of,
I love that.
Yeah. But I mean, as a practitioner, I've repainted rental properties with policy loans. I've replaced HVAC because it gave me some operating flexibility instead of giving up 3 years of cash flow to a property. I financed that through my policy loan, because if you know anything about, I love Robert Kiyosaki's, and I've read probably 10 of his books, and Ken McElroy and Tom Wheelwright, Garrett Sutton, and you start filling in the blank of all the real estate books and times that I've spent, again, becoming a student. If I want to make, an endeavor into real estate, I need to arm myself with data and arm myself with knowledge and learn from the best. And understanding that an asset is anything that takes or puts money into your pocket, and a liability is anything that takes money out of your pocket. Really simple.
Very simple.
Just like infinite banking. It's really simple.
Very.
Right. And I think that's what kind of scares people sometimes, is like, no, it needs to be more complex than this. It's just, I need X's and Y's, and I need like different color line charts, and I need to, if someone just, use like time value of money in here, I'd feel a lot better, even though I don't know what it means, things like that. And it's like, no, it's really simple. Like if it puts money in my pocket, that's an asset. If it takes money out, it's a liability. So I use my policy loan knowing that I have tenants that are gracious enough to have hardworking jobs and are good people in my houses and in their houses, because we're partners, that they pay me every month. And part of that cash flow that I would have sacrificed otherwise goes back to pay my policy loan. They're helping me and I'm helping them.
That's the basis of capitalism, isn't it? I mean, it's at the end of the day, the renter pays for everything. They paid the principal, they paid the interest, they paid the insurance, they paid the repairs, they paid the taxes. You're responsible for it.
Hugely responsible.
And I just want to know that it's really that easy.
It really is. It really is, because I've requested 2 policy loans during this first 5 months. Mm-hmm. The first policy loan I requested, it was in October. After 3 weeks.
So September.
September to October. After the 3 weeks period that the money had to clear, I requested my first policy loan equally to what I had in my cash values. Then I applied it to my first commercial loan.
So you had a loan balance, and then you're capturing that loan balance loan balance too?
Yes.
Okay.
So it took me, once I got that money deposited in my bank account, it took me it was kind of a visual on my end. Yeah. I was like, based on my income, how soon can I add velocity to my banking system?
Right.
So now, because what I discovered was every penny that I was paying back to the policy, it became available again. So it became like I was recycling the
30
money.
30 days. It's really about 30 calendar days generally.
Yes.
Pay a premium or a loan repayment.
Mm-hmm.
Then that value becomes available.
That value becomes available again for using for other things.
That was a whole, I mean, you can read it. You can hear it. You can think about it. But when you actually do it and see it and experience it, it's a whole nother level of understanding.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What the book does, it drives you, it gives you about 80% of your imagination. That's what it did to me.
Yeah.
It picks up your imagination because you see things that you never thought existed.
And then once you see them,
you
cannot unsee them.
You can't. And then you're like, now, how do I get this implemented? Now you go through the process, you get the system set up. Now you have the system. For me, it took 30 days to request my first policy loan. And then...
A man on a mission.
Yes. I'm still on a mission. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then from October to February of 2022, all the money that I had paid back to the system, it became available fully. Except there was that small interest, but I don't mind.
You're paying interest, no question.
Yeah, I don't mind paying that interest because it is a mutual. It causes the profitability of the company, which I'm a co-owner. Then at the end of the year, it'll come back maybe in the form of dividends or maybe in the form of those interests. Because Nelson's in the book, he clearly said the POA will earn dividends and the base will also earn dividends and interest. So I saw that. If I'm a mutual owner, so what else do I need?
Yeah, well, your line of credit didn't come interest-free.
No.
No, neither truck came interest-free.
Nah.
Right?
No.
You were paying somebody interest.
I'm paying somebody directly. Interest.
Yeah. And how much was the interest you were paying them? Do you know? Do you remember the rates?
I'm paying 14%.
Oh, okay. 14% in the policy
loans.
On one
truck.
On one truck. So,
so think about 14% on one truck on $150,000 loan. It's huge.
That's a lot
of money. I was paying about, for the first 3 years, assuming from 2018 to today, I've paid about $30,000 in interest loan.
Mm. Is that ever going to come back to you?
It's gone forever.
Yeah.
It'll never come back.
Right.
So what I saw with this mutual dividend paying products, with the concept that Nelson is teaching, you get every penny returned back to you. So then you get to keep it for the generations to come. So let me focus on the financing side of it because I think that is where the sweet spot is.
Okay.
And that is where the financial freedom really relies. So you have a ready access to capital on demand.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.